Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, it is on page 3 in the New Testament. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot on a stone." And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us meet God in prayer. Lord God, we come to you this day having heard your word sung to us, having heard your word read to us, knowing that it is in your word that we find true guidance and help for our lives. And so through this humble message, may we learn, may we find more understanding as you have given this to me. In Jesus' name, amen.
I am a poor, wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world of woe. But there's no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright land to which I go. I know dark clouds will gather round me. I know my way be rough and steep, but beautiful fields lie just before me, where God's redeemed their vigils keep. Well, I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home.
Oh, Jordan, what a place, what a place to be. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all begin their stories of the adult Jesus at the Jordan River, where he's baptized by his cousin John. In baptism, Jesus identifies with us and with all people everywhere. And there, at the baptism, God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Will you go there with me to the beginning of your faith in your journey of life? Will you remember those words said about you? "This is my daughter. This is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." We need to remember those words, just as Jesus did before we begin our Lenten journey. We need to prepare ourselves just as Jesus did. Before we reflect and examine our regrets, our hurts, and our sinful nature. You see, Lent is a time that offers us an opportunity to come to terms with our human condition. Our human condition that we may spend the rest of the year running away from. And it brings our need for a Savior to the forefront. Lent is a time to open the doors of our hearts a little wider and to understand our Lord just a little deeper. So that when Good Friday and eventually Easter comes, it is just not another day at church, but an opportunity to receive the overflowing grace that God offers to us. It's also a time, an opportunity, to contemplate what Jesus really did for us on the cross. We need to remember the purpose of Lent does not stop at sadness and at despair. It points us to the hope of the resurrection and the day when every tear will be dried. Well, I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. Remember the words that Jesus drew strength from as he began his journey into the wilderness. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At the beginning of the story, this scripture that was read this morning, the gospel writer wants to make it clear who this is he is telling us about. This is Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus knew, as he must have known for some time, that God was calling him to a special mission, and now was the time to begin it. So he went into the wilderness to sort it all out, to clarify the nature of God's call. And he stayed in the wilderness, fasting and praying for 40 days. That's where we get the 40 days of Lent. And his time in the wilderness was much like the 40 years Israel spent in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And during that time, both Israel and Jesus were tempted or put to the test. And they emerged from the test even stronger in faith, not in spite of the testing, but because of it. Not in spite of the testing, but because of it. Have you personally experienced a wilderness time? Do you remember the aching in your soul? Do you remember how you were able to find your way from that deep, dark place? That is what this scripture is about today. Jesus always teaching and giving us an example of how to live in our world. How are we to draw closer to God in order to be faithful? In some texts, it says Jesus was led into the wild or the wilderness. In other texts, it says he was led into the desert. In either one, it's a desolate place to be. But who led him there? The Spirit. Do you and I think in times of testing that we too do not go it alone? Do we stop to remember that the Holy Spirit goes with us and will lead us? You see, it's important to recognize the testing that Jesus is teaching and preparing us for. those slippery slopes, those cunning ways that our world easily tempts us as followers of Christ. There are three major examples that Christ overcomes. After fasting for 40 days and nights, Jesus is hungry. And the tempter says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to turn into bread." Tempting, isn't it? Nothing to eat for 40 days, except extreme physical hunger. Go ahead, use your powers, end your hunger. But Christ answers by turning the tables, and he quotes Deuteronomy. It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. Point taken? Do not abuse your power for your own gratification. The tempter immediately attacks again. Jesus is placed in the highest point in the temple and goaded to jump. This time the tempter says, "I know the scriptures too. And since you're God's son, jump. For it says in Psalm 91, God has placed you in the care of angels. They'll catch you so that you won't so much as stub your toe on a stone. Oh, come on. Let me see you prove you're God." Let's hear this temptation as it might be presented to us today. You may have heard this one about a man who drowned. A fellow was stuck on top of his rooftop in a flood, and he was praying to God for help. And soon a man in a rowboat came by, and the fellow shouted to the man on the roof, "Jump in, I can save you." And the stranded fellow on the roof shouted back, "No, it's okay. I'm praying to God, and he's going to save me." So the rowboat went on by. Then the motorboat came by, and the fellow in the motorboat shouted, "Jump in, I can save you." And to this, the stranded man said, "No thanks. I'm praying to God, and he's going to save me. I have faith." So the motorboat went on. Then a helicopter came, and the pilot shouted, "Grab this rope, and I will lift you to safety." To this, the stranded man again replied, "No thanks. I'm praying to God, and he is going to save me. I have faith." So the helicopter reluctantly flew away, and soon the water rose above the rooftop, and the man drowned. He went to heaven, and he finally got his chance to discuss this whole situation. And he said, as he talked with God, he said, "I have faith in you, but you didn't save me. You let me drown, and I don't understand why." And to this, God replied, "I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What more did you expect?" Do we pause and do we recognize the help that God sends to us in trying times? Well, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy again. Will we remember these words in those times? "Don't you dare test the Lord your God." The third and final temptation was of a great kingdom. The tempter placed Jesus on a mountaintop and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. "All this I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me." Once more, Jesus replies from the book of law, Deuteronomy, "Get away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Bishop William Willimon, in his book, What's Right with the Church, tells about leading a Sunday school class that was studying this very passage, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. After careful study and explanation of each of the three temptations, Dr. Willimon asked, "How are we tempted today?" A young salesman was the first to speak. "Temptation is when your boss calls you in, as mine did yesterday, and says, I'm going to give you a real opportunity. I'm going to give you a bigger sales territory. We believe that you are going places, young man." "But I don't want a bigger sales territory," the young salesman told his boss. I'm already away from home 4 nights a week. It wouldn't be fair to my wife and to my daughter. Look, his boss replied, we're asking you to do this for your wife and daughter. Don't you want to be a good father? It takes money to support a family these days. Sure, your little girl doesn't take much money now, but think of the future. Think of her future. I'm only asking you to do this for them, the boss said. And the young man looked at the class and said, now that's temptation. How will you and I answer when we are tempted today? Who is it that we serve? In the presence of many voices calling out to us, enticing us and tempting us, to what voice will we listen? As wayfaring followers of Christ, we are invited to walk slowly, actually stroll through Lent, to take time to recall and remember the scriptures that are there to help us, to take time and see what is this wilderness that I am in, to take time and listen for just one voice, the same voice that Christ listened to and for in order to make decisions. Christ prepared for his ministry. He recognized the slippery slopes of instant gratification, of power, and of prestige. It's up to us to sort out the many voices that we hear, to focus on the one voice that is the source of truth, the source of strength, the source of life. Remember that even in times and woe and wilderness, their voice is saying, you are my daughter, you are my son, in whom I am well pleased. You and I do not go through any circumstance alone. The Holy Spirit goes with you and with me to lead and to strengthen us. Remember your baptism and know that God is beside you.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just